All right. Thank you, Scott and Sherry, for leading us tonight. Appropriate song there, considering Coach talked about this morning and where our treasure is. Would we definitely rather have Jesus than anything the world has to offer? If you'll turn to Psalm chapter 25. Psalm 25. I'm going to spend our time here tonight walking through this psalm. It's 22 verses long. It's a psalm of David. We are not certain as to the timing of him writing this psalm. It's obviously a time in which he experienced trouble. If you know any of the history of David's reign as king or his life, there were many times in which he found himself in trouble. Even before he was king, after he was anointed by Samuel, in Sunday school, we've been working through 1 Samuel in the Explore of the Bible. Last week was the anointing of David, and this week was David and Goliath. And even after David defeated Goliath, I say David defeated Goliath, I should say that God defeated Goliath through David. David made that for certain, that it wouldn't be his military prowess that would win, but it was God's might and his strength that would give him the victory. We know that there was trouble that arose, conflict between David and Saul because of the accolades that David gained through the defeat of Goliath and the subsequent routing of the Philistine army. It could be that during the time that he served Saul in his court and those many times which he had to flee for his life that he wrote this, or maybe even after his reign. We think about Absalom and how Absalom tried to take over the kingdom. There was many times in which David found himself in trouble. And that's where we find David writing some of his, I would say some of his most revealing psalms. Psalms about his struggle with his faith in God, his struggles with whether or not God was going to be faithful, but reminding himself that in the past God was faithful, so therefore he could trust in God and place his hope in him because God was faithful in the past and therefore he could stand firm that he would be faithful in the future. However, we know this psalm in my Bible, at the heading at the beginning of this psalm is dependence on the Lord, and I felt this was an appropriate psalm for us as a church body because if ever there was a time that we needed to depend upon the Lord, it was now. We are in distress, if you would agree with me tonight. We are in a time of trouble. And we cannot deny that. If we deny that, we are fooling ourselves and we will never move forward. And I would say that in order to move forward as a church, we need to depend upon the Lord and His strength and His guidance. And I think we see in this psalm, in this prayer, this is really a prayer that he prays, that we could pray this prayer for ourselves. In fact, as I read this psalm tonight, I would like to insert ourselves in it. I like doing that at times. I don't know if you, Scott, if you've ever done that in the Psalms. Insert your name or a name of someone else or the name of our church. But I want us to personalize this psalm tonight as we walk through it. I'm not going to read through it and then talk about it. I want to read some, and then we'll talk about it and kind of walk through it tonight. I want to ask some questions if y'all are up to maybe giving some answers tonight. Many of these questions, if not all of these questions, will not be rhetorical. They will require response. And so I would like for you to think through this with me as I've said that I feel like this is a perfect prayer for us as a body of believers, as Second Baptist Church. So Let me begin reading this. I'm going to take this in chunks. I want to take the first three verses, and we'll talk about them. And then I want to take 4 through 11 and talk about them, because I see a mirroring or an answering in that part of the psalm. In 4, it corresponds with 8 and 5 and 9, 6 and 10 and 7 and 11. I feel like they go together. And then I want to take verses 12 through 15, and then we'll look at 16 through 21, and finally, a last plea of David in verse 22. One thing of note, like some of the psalms that we see, is this is a poetic psalm. It is also an acrostic for the Hebrew alphabet. If you've ever studied this psalm before, every verse begins with the letters that correspond with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, Dalet. It was a song that we learned in seminary in order to learn the alphabet. I don't remember it all at this point, but I could sing most of it for you. This thing keeps moving on me, Steve. I don't know. Can you come up here and hold it? I'm just kidding. Tape it? Yeah, no. Super glue, no. All right. Let me start reading, and then we'll talk about this, and maybe I'll answer some questions. Lord, we turn our hope to You. Our God, we trust in You. Do not let us be disgraced. Do not let our enemies gloat over us. Not one person who waits for You will be disgraced. Those who act treacherously without cause will be disgraced. Why do you think David begins this psalm in this particular way? He's in a time of trouble, right? Why do you think? Notice the words that he uses up front. What are some things that he says? Trust. Very good. Saw that. Another word. Turn. Okay. Trust, turn my hope. All right, so you see these. It's almost like he's reminding himself of what he needs to do. You know, sometimes in our lives when we're experiencing struggles, I would say the majority of people, their first inclination is not to turn to God. Have you ever noticed that? In time of struggle, their first inclination is to turn inward or to turn somewhere else other than God. And so I believe David, in this moment, he was reminding himself of where he should place his hope, or to whom he should place his hope in. Who should he trust in? And I think for us, as we find ourselves in a rather precarious situation, we should remind ourselves to where we find our hope. We should remind ourselves who we can trust in. Has God been faithful to the Second Baptist in the past? Yes. In spite of some struggles that we have had, He has been faithful in the past, hasn't He? I haven't been here through them all. Some of you have. But you could attest tonight that God has been faithful. And so therefore, our first inclination is that we should put our trust in Him, that we should place our hope in Him. Notice what he says in verse 2 there. It's, don't let me be disgraced. It's almost like he's saying, okay, I'm going to do this, God, so don't let me down. Does that make sense? Have you ever had those moments in your life when you're experiencing some trouble and you know you need to go to God and you're like, okay, God, I'm coming to You. Please don't let me down. And in the back of your mind, you're saying that, but you're really believing, okay, He's not going to let me down because He's God. Because I've read in Scripture about His faithfulness to His people, His faithfulness to those who put their trust in Him, His faithfulness to those who keep His commands. And so therefore, I mean, I am saying this, but I'm also knowing that God is going to be faithful. And He's not going to let me be disgraced. He's going to see me through. And I think this is David here. In Isaiah chapter 45, I have a lot of scripture tonight to go with this. Is that okay? I might make it longer. I told Scott this morning that it may not be that long, but it may be longer tonight, just because I have several passages of scripture that I want to look at, because I know you've heard me say this before, but the best commentary on scripture is what? Other scripture. It's not what we say, it's what God says. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, "By myself," this is God talking, "by myself I have sworn, truth has gone from my mouth, a word that will not be revoked. Every knee will bow to me, every tongue will swear allegiance. It will be said to me, only in the Lord is righteousness and strength. All who are incensed against him will come to him and be put to shame." Now listen to 25. "All the descendants of Israel will be justified. They will not be disgraced and find glory through the Lord." Note, I think that parallels that. He says, "Do not let my enemies gloat over me." Now, I'm not saying that Second Baptist has enemies, like physical enemies, that there are people out there in our community or in Russellville that are out to get us. But what we have to acknowledge is that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual powers. And there is someone out, I thought this was perfect this morning. Coach Dawson talked about how Satan loves to come in here and disrupt things. "Do not let my enemies gloat over me." Don't let Satan boast in what he's trying to accomplish. God, I'm placing my hope in you that you will come and do a mighty work in Second Baptist Church, and not Second Baptist will be disgraced, but Satan will be disgraced. Because if we realize what Scripture has already told us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, is that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, it says that he put the rulers and the powers and the authorities to shame at the cross. So they have already been put to shame. So what are we asking there? We're asking that God, that same power that he used to overcome sin in that moment, that he would use that same power in our midst so that we would not be put to shame, but that Satan would be put to shame. I would say that Satan, he's been at work. We cannot deny that. I don't think we can. I'm not saying that we are instruments of Satan, that any of us in here are instruments of Satan, but he has been active, and we must ask ourselves why. Why has he been so active in trying to thwart what God is trying to do with Second Baptist Church? Now, me, the forever optimist, and you know that about me, my first inclination is to answer that in that God has incredible plans for Second Baptist Church, and he's trying to prevent that from happening. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not, but I believe that. And if you want a moment of transparency for me, that is one of the reasons why I have not gone anywhere else. I believe God has incredible plans for Second Baptist Church, and he has plans not to disgrace it. And if we believe that Satan has been at work, then we must also believe that God has a work for us to do. The question remains, will we allow him? And I'm just like all of you. I want to see these pews filled again, but not because of Second Baptist's sake, so that our name will be held high, but so that God will be held high. I want to see people walking down this aisle with tears of repentance and coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Not because I want people, I don't, for the annual church profile, so that we can say we had this number of individuals come to faith in Jesus Christ. So that we can say we had 50 or 100 people walk through the waters of baptism. Although that would be incredible, right? To see you on our annual church profile. But it's not about that. It's about God being glorified. No one person who waits for you will be disgraced. This idea of waiting here, I saw one commentary. It was an interesting take on this word. Most of the time when we see the word wait, we immediately think it's a passive sitting around. So and just hanging out until something happens. Then you go to a next. It's not a passive. It's an active waiting that we're involved in the work of God, but we're also waiting for God to move and to guide and direct us. There was another commentary that carried with it the idea of just the same as someone who waits on you at a restaurant, that they're busy bringing things to you, bringing your drink, bringing your meal, refilling your drink, making sure that everything about your experience at the restaurant is okay. And it's the idea that we're actively involved in doing the work of God until God decides to show up in a mighty way. I choose to believe that it is an act of waiting, that we're to be about the business of God. And what is the business of God? Well, I think this morning, the second part of the Great Commandment, love your neighbor. And how do we love our neighbor? Well, there's so many different ways. It's the simple things, but it's also we show love to our neighbor by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on. Verses 4 through 11. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your faithful love, for they have existed from antiquity. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my acts of rebellion. In keeping with your faithful love, remember me because of your goodness, Lord. Let me pause right there because I told you we were going to insert ourselves in this. Make your ways known to us, Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. We wait for you all day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your faithful love, for they have existed from antiquity. Do not remember the sins of our youth or our acts of rebellion. In keeping with your faithful love, remember us because of your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good and upright. Therefore, he shows sinners the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches them his way. All the Lord's ways show faithful love and truth to those who keep his covenant and decrees. Because of your name, Lord, forgive our sin, for it is great. What did David need most? What did David need most? What did he declare in this part of the psalm? What did he need most? I'm sorry? Forgiveness. What is the second thing he needed? Mercy. All right. Forgiveness and mercy go hand in hand. Yes. What is the second thing he needed? What do we see there? Guidance. Direction. Oh, is that not us? Is that not us right now at Second Baptist Church? God, forgive us and give us direction. I've heard people say that we really don't know who we are as a body of believers. Isn't this a perfect prayer for us? God, give us direction. I think many of us have already been praying, God, forgive us for what it was that we did wrong. How did we fail? And now we need to pray, God, give us direction. We need that. Look at 4 and 8. He says, make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Kind of reminds you of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And what? He will direct your paths. Make your ways known. The Lord is good and upright. Therefore, what does He say? He shows sinners the way. You see how that's what I saw when I was reading this. I was poring over this passage. Those two go together. Show us. Make your ways known. And then He shows it. Because of anything that we do. Notice in this, what is the basis for God's forgiveness in this? What is the basis for God showing and giving direction to David? Was it because of what David had done? It was because of what? The nature of God, right? What did verse 11 say? Because of your name. And remember, when we see the name of God in Scripture, there was so much attached to a person's name. The very essence of who they were in, it was in their name. And so, yes, now the nature of God. It's in His nature to forgive. It's in His nature to guide those who what? Those who are, in verse 9, who are humble. Verse 10, those who keep His covenant and decrees. So we see that that's in God's nature to give direction to those who find themselves in a place of humility and obedience. So if we truly, I mean, we talked about this morning, this verse this morning, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, right? Did we talk about that this morning? Was that this morning? No, it was because I was reading it this afternoon. But he talks about God gives grace to the humble. Humility is essential in our walk with God. Not only humility, but obedience. If He's going to show us His ways, then we must be obedient to that. Otherwise, Him showing it has no effect on our lives. It's just knowledge, right? We're just aware of what God wants us to do. God, give us direction. What did David want God to remember? His compassion. His mercy. And he said, don't remember my sins. You know, it kind of echoes of Psalm 51 in verse 9 where he talks about blotting out my sins. Taken away my sins. That great psalm of repentance that we see. It's not because of anything we do. It's not because of anything that we have done that God will do this for us. It's because it's in the nature of God. I think our prayer as a church needs to be, God, for Your name's sake, do these things for us. Not because we deserve it, because do we actually deserve the mercy of God? No, we don't. Because, as Coach Dawson put it this morning, that we go through the motions and we check off the box of attendance and giving and Bible reading, that merits the mercy of God and His forgiveness. No. We plead on the behalf of God's nature, that it, because He wants to forgive us, that He would do so. That He wants to give us direction. Do we believe that as a body of believers tonight, that He really and truly wants to give Second Baptist direction? We must. All right, let's go further. I haven't given you all the verses that I wrote down. You can, if you want me to give them to you later, I will. I just want to be mindful of our time tonight. Verses 12 through 15. Who is this person who fears the Lord? He will show him the way he should choose. He will live a good life, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and it reveals his covenant to them. Our eyes are always on the Lord, for he will pull our feet out of the net. What is the result of fearing God? What is the result? David says, who is the person who fears the Lord? So if we fear the Lord, when we talk about fear, what are we talking about? We're talking about reverence, correct? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. So what is the result when we place ourselves in a position of fear and of reverence of God? What does David say that will happen? He will teach them. He'll show them the way. Not only that, we will live a good life. And not only will we live a good life, but our descendants who follow. Isn't that a wonderful picture? We're talking about a legacy here, right? And a Second Baptist Church, what will our legacy be? Will it be of what has transpired these past 7 years that I've been here? Or will it be what God is about to do, because I believe He's about to do something incredible? If we fear and we revere God in this moment, I think we will see something truly miraculous happen. Not only that, it says the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear Him. Paul talks about how God is going to reveal the mystery of the gospel. And this mystery that he talks about, this life that even angels they're on their heels, or they're on their tippy toes, just kind of looking in to see what is about to happen. Can you imagine that tonight? That maybe in the midst of all this, that the angels in heaven, They are on their toes looking over just to see what is about to happen with Second Baptist Church, because God is about to move. Do we believe that tonight? That they're longing to look in and to participate? Again, I'm the forever optimist. I believe with God all things are possible. And I think here, you see this about David. When he's looking at all this, and he's looking at his life and the problems that he's experiencing, and then he looks at the God to whom he has placed his trust, and he couldn't help be optimistic about the outcome. It says that he reveals his covenant to them. When we talk about covenant, are we not talking about this intimacy that we have with the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe? And then he says, my eyes, our eyes, are always on the Lord, where He will pull my feet out of the net. Anything that entangles us, anything that ensnares us, anything that's trying to trap us in the moment, when we place our eyes on God, He takes it away. We sing this hymn from time to time, I think, during the invitation. You know the one I'm talking about? Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. What is the chorus? Do y'all remember it? Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Right? In the light of His glory and grace. Our eyes are always on the Lord. I like that. All right. Last big chunk. Turn to us and be gracious to us, for we are alone and afflicted. The distresses of our hearts increase. Bring us out of our sufferings. Consider our affliction and trouble, and take away all our sins. Consider our enemies, they are numerous, and they hate us violently. Guard us and deliver us. Do not let us be put to shame, for we take refuge in You. May integrity and uprightness keep me for, or keep us, for we wait for You. What are the actions that David longs for God to take, that he pleads for God to take in this, in verses 16 and 17. You see those action words? Turn. Be gracious. Right? What else? Bring us out of our sufferings. I don't know about you, but our God is an active God. And I believe David knew this, and that's why he's pleading with Him, move on my behalf. And we should be pleading, God, move on our behalf. Again, not because of our namesake, but because of Your namesake, so that Your name will be great, so that Your name would be made famous among our community, our town. You notice that David, in this time of trouble, he's much like us, isn't he? When things seem to be going wrong, we feel all alone, don't we? We feel like we're the only ones experiencing what we are experiencing. And we forget oftentimes that God, He's still with us. He promises that He will be with us, right? In the Great Commission, He says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. His presence is in our midst. We need to remember that there's power in the presence of God. Not only is there power in the presence of God, but there's peace in the presence of God. And even in the midst of everything that we might be experiencing at the moment, we can rely upon the power of God and the peace that that His presence brings. Notice the things that in 18 and 19 that David desired for God to consider. He's like, God, will You please just look at what's going on? Will You please just look what is happening to me, and look at how my enemies are against me, and our prayer, I think, as a Second Baptist Church is, God, will You please look at what is happening, and will You please also look at how Satan is trying to have a foothold in our church? Don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. Verses 20 and 21, he says, guard me, deliver me. Well, we need the protection and the deliverance of God in this moment. This is where I take refuge in you. What better place than to take refuge in the Almighty God? And this morning, Coach Dawson talked about how basically nothing has taken God by surprise in what is happening to Second Baptist Church in this moment. God's not surprised by it. He says, may integrity and uprightness keep me. So, I view this verse not that David is saying that he has integrity and uprightness, but he has a desire for God to infuse into his life integrity and uprightness, because that is the only way that he will ever be a man of integrity. There was the only way that he will ever be upright is because of God and what he's doing in his life. I think all over this psalm, David's prayer is that, God, it's about you and it's not about me. Although these things are happening to me, I believe in you and what you're going to do. And though it may seem like in this moment that we're just in a quagmire of sorts, What did the psalmist say in Psalm 40? Waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. Lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. And then I will sing a new song. What will our new song be at Second Baptist Church? What will it be? Will it be a song about God's faithfulness? Will it be a song about how God in His power and His might, He lifted us up out of the clay and put us on the rock, make our footsteps firm? Will it be a song about how God moved in such a way that this community around could not deny that it was God? Would it be a song, maybe even about revival and restoration? Verse 22. God redeems Second Baptist Church from all its distresses. David kind of sums it up right there, doesn't he? And that's a great summary prayer for us. And I don't know about you, but I believe that God is especially good at redeeming messes. He's especially good at redeeming messes. And I believe redemption is coming. I believe it. Do you believe it tonight? Stranger things have happened, right? God redeem Second Baptist Church from all its distresses. This week, if you want to, you don't have to. I'm not gonna call each of you and ask you if you've done this or not. I mean, I could, but I won't. I just want to maybe challenge you to go back through this psalm and to pray it for Second Baptist Church. I talked this morning about the need for prayer. And here it is. Here is one that we see that is a great example for us. You don't have to go back through and do as I did and insert us or we, or look at what David says here and incorporate that in a prayer for us as a body of believers. And then at the end, God redeem Second Baptist Church. Let's pray. God, you are an amazing God. A God who is all powerful. A God who is holy. A God who is merciful and forgiving. A God who desires to give His children direction and to reveal the path ahead. So we've looked at this wonderful psalm, this wonderful prayer of your servant David. We can't help but find ourselves wanting to pray that for Second Baptist Church. This is our prayer for us. God, that you would move, not on our behalf, but on the behalf of your great name, so that you might be glorified. That you would give us direction. Father, our prayer is, would you please redeem Second Baptist Church from all its distresses? We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all have a great week.